Hello, and welcome back to How We're Putting Two and Two Together, a series of conversations with the cast of the audio drama Putting Two and Two Together. My name is Peter Cosmas Sophronis, and I am the writer and director of the series. Today I'm talking with Nick Gould, who plays Matt Sharp. Welcome, Nick.
Hey, Peter.
Yeah, let's get right into it. So, Matt, yes. Tell me about him.
I feel like Matt is one of those people that he's always just in the middle of what's going on, and it's never his fault that he's in the middle of what's going on. Because either David is showing up with his problems with Tommy, or the parents are doing their thing because they're crazy, or Lisa has come in like a whirlwind and back out. I mean, totally fair, being pregnant and everything, but yeah. I think Matt just gets stuck in the middle of a lot of stuff, and he's just like, what happened?
And does he enjoy that?
No, not one bit. I don't think he does at all. I think it's really interesting because, like, yes, he has his own issues that he's going through in terms of, like, his relationship with his parents, his relationship with his brother. But at the same time, he seems to be the most relatively normal one of the group.
That's probably an accurate description. I never really thought about it until just now, but that's very true. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see how he plays with a larger playing field.
Yes.
So how did you join the production?
Well, I recall getting a Facebook message from you way back before this was even a thing about, actually, I believe reading David.
Yeah, I thought so. I couldn't remember for sure, but yeah.
Yeah, it was reading David at one point, and I was unavailable for one reason or another. I probably was doing a show or working on something. Who knows?
Probably.
But after that had gone through, you had sent out a follow-up message saying, hey, we're doing this as a full thing. Would you be interested in playing Matt? And at the time, it was a very, very small role. And I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. That makes it really easy. I can do that with all the other stuff I'm going on.
Yeah, well, if you can't play David, how about his brother?
Yeah.
And then his role started to get a little bigger.
Yes, it did.
I mean, you're not huge yet.
Nope.
Each season, you seem to be getting a little bit more and more part of the world.
Yeah.
Part of that is just that you and Amanda worked so well together and fit, and Adam as well, just to fit that. And I'm just like, okay, I want to see this dynamic a bit more, especially with Matt and David kind of mending fences, just to see.
Yep.
Let's bring it into the group rather than making an excuse to go to California every time.
Yeah. I will say it was really nice in season two doing some of the phone call scenes because it was a way to get him in there. But I'm also excited because at the end of the day, as you said, it's much easier to have him be in the location than have an excuse for a phone call or to go out that way.
Exactly. And we'll talk about your primary relationships in a little bit, but just now you get to interact with everybody else, not just David, not just Tommy, not just your parents and your wife.
Yes.
People that you wouldn't necessarily have interacted with.
Yeah, no, that's going to be fun, especially since I know so many of the cast outside of this and have worked with them in other things. It'll be very interesting to work with them in a situation where I'm not always actually in front of them.
Yes. As I've talked about almost to death in previous interview segments, for season one, we recorded in a basement with most of the people together, occasionally having to dub someone in later. But for the most part, it was done as a live production with many takes. Season two being done individually due to COVID. How did that feel for you?
As somebody who spent a lot of time in live theater, being that's what I do and I teach daily, being with everybody in season one was really fun. It felt more like a rehearsal for a show that's on stage. It felt more like bringing that kind of community together. But being able to record just everything, bang, 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 get it all done, all out of the way, all at once, and being able to just try things multiple times without having to go through the entire scene again was, I think, one of my favorite parts of season two, is because we could go through, like, when Matt blew up a couple of times, we could go through that like 3-4 times in a row without having to get everybody back to the same page, without having to get everybody into that same emotional moment. It was just, no, Nick, try this, or Nick, let's try it in a different way, or whatever it was at the time. And I feel like that in and of itself was very, very freeing as well.
Purely from an editing standpoint, it's a lot easier for me to have multiple takes of a single line already set up so I can just listen to them in sequence and say, okay, there's the take. Isolate that and go, as opposed to the season one motif where, since we did the entire scene multiple times, I had to go through and then split up every line from every take, rearrange them so I could listen to each take in sequence, and it just took many, many, many more hours of work to get to that point. I mean, either way, we end up with a great result. It's just the amount of post-production work involved.
I had to do something similar this year, doing virtual productions with my students, and I had that same issue. If a take got messed up, I basically had to redo the whole thing. It worked out for what I needed to do, but yeah, it's a pain.
Of course, now that I'm thinking about it, in season one, there were a few times where I rewrote the end of a scene. So I had to call you back and, you know, say, okay, let's tack this ending onto a previous existing audio and see if we can get it so
it meshes.
So it's all a matter of things. I haven't completely figured out how I'm doing season three this time around. I have done some experimentation. I think these interviews in and of themselves are an experiment to see whether I can do a remote twofer conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I just finished recording a bonus season zero episode, which will be appearing in between seasons two and three, where I did record both actors together virtually and did it the season one approach. Only one actor is based out of Texas while the other is here in Massachusetts, so there was no way we could actually get in person. So I think season three is going to be a mixture of the two takes. Part of it is actors' preferences. I know some actors work better, like you, in the individual approach, whereas certain actors need
the back and forth.
Yeah, I think for individual scenes, I might do either in person or remote twofers, but party scenes probably will be done the season two method.
Yeah.
Matt's relationships.
Mm-hmm.
His wife, Lisa.
Lisa is a freight train. That is the best way I can describe it. And Matt is the helpless conductor attempting to steer it down the right track. And Amanda might murder me for that one, but he obviously cares very, very much for her. He wants her to be happy. He wants everything to go smoothly. And every so often, he just gets caught like the deer in the headlights. And he's just like, what did I do? What happened this time? How did I? What? Very early on in this, he gets caught in the middle. And you're just like, but okay, that's happened now. And now I got to deal with it.
When we see her in season one, she is very much, like you said, runaway freight train. Almost every one of her speeches is these long-winded diatribe monologues that are just stream of conscious. Season two, we do get a little bit more of her quieter moments, and we realize that part of the reason why she goes so off the rails a lot is because she's thinking about a lot of stuff, and you know, heart of gold, Lisa, but Matt clearly loves her with all his heart.
110%.
Yes. And a different type of love, his brother, David.
Oh, David, David, David. How do we solve a problem like David? It's so interesting, having watched now and been through the change in their relationship together. Because Matt started out just, he didn't like his brother. He, like, the love was there because, yes, it's his brother. They're always going to be in that situation. But, like, there was so much pent-up resentment between the two. Just right under the surface, and watching that change and grow, and both of them coming to realize that they've both made mistakes, they've both messed up, and they've both made assumptions about the other that were frankly wrong. It's been really fun to watch that build and grow, but yeah, it's 100%. It was one of those things that it started out, and it's like, you really don't like your sibling, do you, Matt? To a, okay, now we have an understanding and we can get along.
And then we're seeing, you know, as I am writing season three, we're actually getting their dynamic together. I mean, there's this beautiful scene that I've written for the two of you with and a couple other characters who I'm not going to spoil at this moment in time, but basically where Matt is defending his brother.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to something like that because it's, again, That, I think, is the kind of that culmination then of that entire situation where, you know, it went from I would not necessarily piss on you to put out a fire to no, this is my brother. And it becomes that natural sibling relationship of nobody else messes with my brother. Only I mess with my brother.
Exactly. I mean, there's another scene which, you know, I will say it's a poker scene in which Matt, David, and Tommy, and a lot of the other crowd are there. And to actually see David and Matt messing with each other in that crowd is wonderful, I think.
Yeah.
His relationship with his parents, Mark and Alice.
Oh, God, where do we begin with this? Freud would have a field day with Matt's relationship with his parents. He harbors so much resentment, really, to the both of them. Because he always felt so second to David. He always felt so much like he was in the back of their minds. And I'm not gonna lie, the way that Alice was originally written in a lot of their original interactions with each other very much enforced that until like the very end of their interactions with each other. And it was suddenly like, oh no, you are literally the same person and you deal with things the same way. And it, frankly, like, that reminds me of me and my mother. We are very similar human beings. And so that, for me, became one of those things of like, okay, I get where this is now. I get exactly where this is.
Doesn't mean she can't rub him the wrong way like crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then, of course, his dad's just nuts. But that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, his dad gets on David's.
Yeah, his dad gets on everybody's nerves. I don't think it's just the boys. I think it's literally everyone.
And adding Tommy to the mix.
I seem to remember, and I'm having difficulty, it's been so long since I've recorded these lines, but it was one of those things that I remember the conversation between David and Matt about how good Tommy was for Matt. Or for David. God, why did I mix that up? I shouldn't mix that up. That's my character.
Imagine how I feel with all the other characters running.
I know, right? But like, how good Tommy and David were together and how good that was for each other, really, because they do, and you know, watching some of the interactions of the two of them in scenes that I wasn't necessarily in, but I saw in the recording in, say, season one, it's so interesting watching their back and forth or reading their back and forth in the various scenes that I've read. And I think it's interesting for Matt because he sees that and is like, yes, this guy brings out the best in my brother. And I think he loves him for that. And I think he loves him for the fact that he's also kind of put David in his place a little bit a few times, which Matt never had the guts to do growing up.
It'll be interesting to see how Matt and Tommy play where it's not having David as part of the context, just in general.
Just the two of them together.
Yeah.
It'll be very interesting.
For lack of a better term, brothers-in-law.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was the one scene in front of the laundromat, if I remember. I remember it was in front of the laundromat because Tommy decided to walk down there. I forget what happened to make it happen, but I remember it was some big deal. And I think I think that's kind of that nice little look forward to what's going to happen there, because they did. They kind of bounced off each other. They weren't sure what was going on with each other, but by the end, they'd reached some kind of realization that, like, okay, we have an understanding. We're still not perfect with each other, but, like, we get it. We get where this is going.
And, you know, the fact that Tommy went to seek out Matt for the sake of, you know, the relationship between the brothers.
Yeah.
Not for any selfish reasons, but just to figure out what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
So we touched upon this slightly, but season one, you're just a guest star. Season two, you're recurring character. Season three, you're now a supporting co-star. How does that feel?
Again, I started out, I was like, oh yeah, no, little bit part, no problem at all. And it's like building and building and building. And it's very interesting because it feels like that natural progression, especially because at the beginning of it, it feels like it's paralleling the relationship between the brothers. Because at the beginning, like I said, I don't think Matt would have necessarily pissed on a fire to put out his brother because there was so much pent up stuff there. But now, as we've gotten to see the two of them interact with each other, as they've started to bond with each other a bit more, you see them, you know, start to go back to probably what they were like when they were smaller children. And I say that because sometimes they both act like big kids, but that's a whole other ballgame. But I think it's been very interesting as he gets closer and closer to his brother. Now he's physically moving closer to his brother, and it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
One thing just popped into my head. I probably should have asked this earlier when we were discussing Lisa. But the fact that, as the backstory comes out, that David and Lisa grew up together, and it wasn't until later on that Matt became part of the picture. How does Matt feel about that bond between his brother and his wife?
I don't feel like that's something we've fully explored at all. I'd be interested in exploring that a bit more. I think it's one of those things of like, yes, that's there, but that's also in the past. And at the end of the day, Lisa chose to be with Matt. They have chosen to spend their life together. They've got a kid and another on the way. And it's like all of these things are what's going on in his corner. And David also now has Tommy. And I don't think there's anything there that's necessarily going to drive a rift, because at the end of the day, I hope, and I could be proven wrong, I'm not the writer here, that I think Matt is in a strong enough place with his relationship with Lisa to realize, like, yeah, no, it's me and her, and whatever happened in the past is in the past with the two of them.
There was no romance between the two of them whatsoever. They pretty much say that in the season 2 finale, is that at no point did they ever think of themselves as anything more than that.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that they knew each other for much more time than Matt and Lisa did. Whether or not that bond will be a little friction because we're dealing with each other on a regular basis, it remains to be seen. I say that because I don't even necessarily know where I'm going with that, but it's just one of those things that just popped into my head that could be an interesting nugget to play with down the line.
Yeah.
So any particular favorite moments, anything that really sticks out? This could be from both behind the scenes or in the actual story.
I really love just watching Matt's character grow and watching some of the revelations he's gone through. There's just been such a transition from kind of the surly way he acted around his brother beforehand to what he is now and how they are now. And then, of course, you know, obviously the family angle. I love seeing that change from an actor perspective, because it's just like, this is where we started and this is why it happened. But I do want to say, like, even though I do really, really enjoy the one-on-one version of the recording that we did in season 2, it was really kind of hysterical just being able to be like looking dead on in our other actors' faces in the basement surrounded by blankets on the walls type of thing. And it was a great kind of thing. And it was a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah, I do miss being able to get everybody together.
Yeah.
I would love to get everybody together, or as many people as I possibly can, because not everybody is around the same area, to do a table read for season 3 before we actually get in to do recording. But
yeah, that would be lovely.
Yeah, but first I got to finish writing them.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
The other thing with Matt is we didn't know until mid-season 2 what Matt even did for a living.
Oh, yeah, no. Matt was just kind of an enigma for most of it. It's just like, here's David's brother. Catch!
Yeah, so, I mean, the fact that, there's actually, I'm not spoiling too much, but in the premiere of season 3, there's a little joke that's going on between a conversation between David, Anthony, and Tommy, and they're talking about, oh, look, all the artists in our group. There's Tommy, there's Breen, there's KC, there's Haley, and who am I forgetting? Oh, Matt! Yeah, just a little bit like that, you know, so it's just like, oh, yep, that's exactly what Matt's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that will obviously, I would imagine, bond between Matt and Tommy in that respect.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you know, both starting out in the art kind of thing, which is really hysterical because I, as an individual, have absolutely no, like, artistic talent in terms of the drawing and, like, traditional fine arts.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
But you're very big into the performing, so.
Yes, so.
Anyway, thank you, Nick, for agreeing to meet with me.
Of course. This was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed this.
Great. Well, I will certainly let you know the more progress of season 3 as it happens, and look forward to recording with you.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
Thanks again.
Thank you.